And now, Ben Bailey.
Being a Christian ought to be one of the greatest joys in all the world. Christians ought to rejoice and be some of the happiest people that you could ever find. But sometimes it's not that way. Sometimes we lose sight of the joy of salvation. Someone has rightly said that sometimes Christians look like they've been baptized in pickle juice. And that's so true. Sometimes we go around with a sour face. We look like we've lost our best friend, when in reality, we have so much to rejoice about. I'm reminded of Philippians 4 and verse 4, where the Apostle Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice." We ought to have joy and have true rejoicing in this life, not necessarily because of the here and now, but because of the hope of eternity. I think about great people in the Bible who did rejoice. Acts chapter 16 and verse 25 is a wonderful example. Here are Paul and Silas, and they're in prison. They're in Philippi like a dungeon, and they maybe would be down, and some would say they might be depressed, but here they are, and they're praying, and they're singing hymns to God, and the prisoners are listening to them. James said that even in trials we can rejoice. James chapter 1 verse 2, he said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." I think of the words of Psalm 1. "Blessed or happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." This life ought to be a joy. The salvation that we have ought to encourage us to be happy in the here and now. You remember the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 14? Jesus there said, "Blessed," over and over again, "blessed are those who do God's will," and so forth. The idea of blessed is a divine happiness or a divine joy that comes from following Almighty God. But what makes salvation a joy? What makes being a Christian a real joy in this life? Today we want to consider what makes Christianity joyful. And as we think about the joy of Christianity, let's note first that redemption, the redemption we have in Jesus Christ, gives us great joy. Colossians 1:14, we're told that we have redemption in Christ. The idea of redemption means to buy back. Before we become a Christian, Satan had us in a stranglehold, as it was. We were under the condemnation of sin and death. But through Jesus, we've been bought back to God. Let's notice what Paul said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 24 as we think about the real meaning and joy behind redemption. Paul said in Romans 3 and verse 24 these words, that we have redemption through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of our sins by His blood. The idea of redemption means that Jesus gave His life a ransom to buy us back to God. In Revelation 5, we see a sad scene at first, but it's a rather joyful scene also. Here's John, and he's weeping because there seems to be no one to open the book. And then appears the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world. Jesus gave His life and shed His blood so that we could be bought back to Almighty God. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 says that God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus Himself. I'm reminded of the encouraging words of 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. Jesus became the propitiation for our sins. But notice this, but not for our sins alone, but for the sins of the whole world. Galatians 1:4 says that Jesus, He gave His life as a ransom so that we could be bought back to God. I'm reminded of Titus 2 in verse 14, that as a result of that, we are looking forward to the glorious day and the hope of Jesus coming to give us the joy that we rely on. Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24 that He Himself, Jesus, bore our sins in His own body upon the tree that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness by whose stripes we are healed. How is Christianity a joy? It's a joy because I don't have to be a child of the devil. I can be bought back to God through the blood of Jesus Christ, and I can be a faithful servant of the Father. Christianity is a joy because there is no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. Condemnation is not something that the child of God has to worry about. It's not something that we have to be fearful of. If we're Christians, we're not under condemnation. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 teaches us this very principle. Let's notice what Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Here's what makes Christianity a joy. Here's what we can smile about, is that on the day of judgment, if we're faithful to God, we're not going to be condemned to eternal hell. But there is condemnation to the unbelieving. Mark 16, verse 16, Jesus said, "He that does not believe will be condemned." 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9 teaches us that one day Jesus is going to come in a flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel. Do you remember Luke 16, verses 19 through 31? The rich man there was under condemnation. Oh, he had it all in this life, but he was in torment on the other side. And Revelation 21, verse 8 depicts those ungodly people, idolaters, liars, people who live in sin, as those who one day will be cast into the lake of fire. And so since Jesus has overcome sin, we can overcome sin through Him also. Revelation 3:21 teaches us that we can overcome and live with Jesus Christ. If we live faithful to Jesus, here's the joy. On the day of judgment, if we remain faithful, God is not going to cast us into eternal condemnation. How do we know that? Titus 1 verse 2 says that we're living in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. I'm reminded of how that Jesus gave us this hope. John 14, Jesus said that we could one day live in heaven with Him once He comes again. That's the promise we have. And 1 John 2 and verse 25 teaches us this is the promise we have, eternal life. God cannot lie. He's promised us that if we remain faithful unto death, we'll receive the crown of life, Revelation 2 verse 10, and thus we can rejoice in the fact that the blood of Jesus and our life being lived faithful keeps us from being lost for all eternity. Another great joy that Christians have is the victory that we now have in Jesus Christ. Christians are not going to lose the battle of life against Satan. Hebrews 2 and verse 14 says that Jesus conquered Satan through His own death. And the same principle is so true for Christians today. Think about what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. The Apostle Paul said, "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place." Christians are led in triumph as they follow Jesus. They will be victorious. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, "Thanks be to God, who always gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Friends, for this victory to be true, we've got to realize we're in a battle right now. Starting in Genesis chapter 3, when that subtle serpent Satan tricked Adam and Eve and they did eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, man began a battle for his eternal soul. And 2 Corinthians 10 teaches us that we are still in that battle today. Verses 3 through 5 says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we have a spiritual battle. And we've got to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. We've got to contend earnestly for the faith against the devil and against false teaching. And friends, for us to be victorious, we've got to arm ourselves for the battle in this life. The wonderful thing that I can smile about as a Christian is that God has helped me to have the victory, and He continues to do so. He helps me through the armor that He's given me. Remember, we're to put on the breastplate of righteousness. We're to put on the belt of truth. We're to put on the helmet of salvation. We take the shield of faith. We shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and we have the sword of the Spirit to help us. Christians have not been left alone. We've been given the perfect battle armory to win the battle of life. And friends, if we do this, I can promise you, we will be victorious. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. He said, therefore, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but all those who love His appearing. Like Paul, if we remain faithful, we can rejoice in the fact that after this battle is over, we will have the victory, and we can go and be with the Father in heaven. Here's what makes Christianity a joy also. Christians get a second chance in this life. All of us at one time have messed up. I've made mistakes. All of us have done things that are wrong. But as Christians, we get to start over again. We get to try again. We get a fresh start as a child of God. You can think back in your own life, times that you messed up and how you wish that you would have had a second chance. How you wish that you could have gone back and maybe made things right or done things differently. The child of God has that opportunity. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Paul said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now remember, before Christ, we were dead in sin. Ephesians 2 verse 12 says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Romans 3:23 teaches that this is not just some people. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Paul said in Romans 6 verse 23 that the paycheck, the salary, the wages of sin is death. But then he exulted in this fact. Romans 6:17 says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Or not only does it teach us about the victory, but thanks be to God that we obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which we were delivered. Once we obey the gospel, we receive the victory in Jesus as we walk in the light. Now friends, as a child of God who has been given a second chance, this means that I have a new focus in life. Romans 6:4 says this, that after we've been buried with Christ in baptism, we rise to walk in newness of life. I no longer live like I used to. With that second chance, I have a new focus, and I live faithful to God every day. Jesus said in Luke 9, verse 23, that if we desire to follow Him, we've got to take up our cross daily and do as He did, live the life that He lived. Paul would teach us in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. We're to be an example to those around us so they also can see the hope of the gospel. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, Paul told Timothy, be an example to the believers in word, conduct, faith, love, purity, and spirit. In every way, we're with this second chance to live as an example to the world. Here's another joyful thing that the Christian has as a child of God. We have every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful privilege it is to know that not only have I been given the armor to defeat the devil, but I've been given every blessing in this life that will help me to make it to heaven. Paul wrote to Christians in Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, and he reminded them of this principle when he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not only do we have some, we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. The joy for the child of God is that we have been given hope. I can call myself a child of God. What a blessing and what a privilege that is. John thought of this as he said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we can be called children of God, and this we are. What a joy it is to be God's child. Not a child of the devil, but the child, a child of God who created this world. What a joy it is to, and a blessing it is to have a heavenly inheritance. To know that after this life, I'm going to live with God for eternity. Paul said in Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21, that our inheritance is not in this earth. Our inheritance is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our former body, this worldly body, into His likeness. One day, we're going to receive a new body, and we're going to have the hope, we're going to know that we're going to live in heaven. Think about the great blessing of prayer. Where would we be as Christians without the power of prayer in our lives? James thought about prayer and its power when he said in James 5 and verse 16 that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person, it overcomes or avails much. Jesus said in Luke 18:1 that men ought to pray always and never lose heart. I'm reminded of the example of the psalmist in Psalm 86 and verse 3. He said, I cry unto thee daily. Think about how Jesus started every day of His life. Mark 1 verse 35, the Bible tells us that in the morning, a great while before daylight, He departed, went to a solitary place, and there prayed. Jesus also knew the power of prayer. And so today it is a great blessing for the child of God. Another thing that we have, another blessing we have to rejoice about, and something that makes salvation such a great joy, is the forgiveness that we receive in this life. The sins that I once committed, I no longer have to carry the burden of those. I know they are a heavy burden. For the psalmist said in Psalm 38 and verse 5, my sins have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They're too heavy for me to bear. We can't bear sin alone. The guilt, the consequences, the heartbreak that it brings, it's unbearable. But here's the joy of being a Christian. I have forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Notice what the psalmist says. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. This teaches us that as Christians, we can be forgiven of the things that we've done in this life. Remember, all of us have transgressed God's law at one time. And that sin is devastating to humanity. It's what causes us to be separated from God. Isaiah said in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, it's not that the Lord's ear is heavy that He can't hear, nor is His arm shortened that He cannot save. God doesn't have a hearing problem, nor does He have a defect in His arm that He can't reach out and save you. What's the problem then? Your sins and your iniquities have separated your God from you. Sin separates a man from God, and it brings horrible consequences. Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 18, 4, the soul that sins shall surely die. Remember what happened to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3 when they transgressed God's will? They were cast out of the garden. Death came upon them. They had to work by the sweat of their brow. Proverb writer was right when he said in Proverbs 13:15, the way of the transgressor is hard. And friends, you can rest assured that if you live in sin, it's going to be a hard life. But here's the joy that we have. Christians don't have to bear that guilt. We can live with God as a child of God and know that our sins have been washed away. Revelation 1 verse 5 says that our sins are washed. Christians are washed in the blood of Jesus. When Jesus made that atoning sacrifice for our sins, He took away the sin of the world. Hebrews 10 verse 12 says, this man, He offered Himself as one sacrifice for sins forever. Hebrews 2 verse 9, He tasted death one time for all men. And as a result, we don't have to bear the consequences of those sins. The psalmist said in Psalm 103 verses 11 through 12 that our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west from us. I'm reminded of Micah's illustration of how that our sins have been cast into the depths of the sea. Micah 7 verses 18 and 19. And so as a child of God, I can rejoice that my sins no longer can carry the burden of guilt and consequences that they once did. Now, friend, if you're not a Christian, your sins do haunt you. And the things that you have done in this life that are not right, they do bring you great guilt in this life. But the joy is, you can have that taken away. You can be a Christian. You can rejoice in the hope of salvation that is made possible to all men. Think about just how much God loves you and how much He loves the whole world. Remember 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4? God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 says that God's not slow concerning His promises as some count slowness, but He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want you to be lost. He's not an angry God who wants to send people to hell. God loved you so much that He gave His own Son to die for your sins. Remember, God so loved the world that He gave His own Son. He gave His Son so that whosoever believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John chapter 3 and verse 16. Jesus loves us so much that He gave His life on Calvary, on the cross, so that we could go to heaven. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that we, through His poverty, might be made rich." It's the love of God that ought to motivate us to live our life for Jesus and to give our heart to Him. Paul reminded us of this great love in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, when he says, While we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet perhaps for a godly man someone might dare to die. But notice this, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died for us so that we could have the hope of going to heaven. And I can guarantee you this, if you're going to have real joy in this life, joy that is lasting, joy that is meaningful, it will only be found in obeying the gospel and becoming a Christian. What must one do to have this joy? How can you receive salvation today? What does a person have to do to become a child of God? The plan is very simple. God has not made it difficult. He has not tried to confuse us. We can read the Bible and know God's will. The Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4 that when you read, you can understand God's will. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 32 that you could know the truth. And listen, the truth would make you free. First, a person has to hear the Word of God. That means that you've got to listen to what the Scripture says on salvation, and you've got to take it at face value and do what it says. Romans 10 verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We know that faith is essential, for Hebrews 11, 6 says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to Him must. He must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And so, I've got to hear the Word of God, and then I've got to believe that Jesus is God's Son. I know belief is essential, for when the Ethiopian nobleman and Philip were traveling down the road, they came to a certain water. Evidently, he'd been teaching him about the plan of salvation and baptism, and he said, "You've been talking about, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And do you remember the "if"? If you believe with all your heart, you may. We've got to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. And having believed in Him as the Son of God, then I must be motivated by that belief, by that conviction, to change my life. Peter said in Acts 2 and verse 38 that Christians, that those the Jews on the day of Pentecost, they needed to repent of the things they had done wrong. We learn that repentance is a changed will that leads to a changed way. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10 says that godly sorrow produces repentance. Repentance is not sorrow alone, but a true sorrow of heart, a godly sorrow, produces repentance in my life. Then I must confess Jesus as the Son of God. Romans 10 verse 10 says, "With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." I've got to believe and confess that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said in verse 32 and 33 that if we were to confess Him before men, He'd also confess us before the Father. And yes, friend, the Bible teaches that you must be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. We know that baptism is immersion, for in Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, the Scripture teaches us that at Jesus' baptism, as He went down into the water, the Bible tells us that when He came up out of the water, the Spirit was descending upon Him as a dove. Here He is, and He's come up out of water. Now, to come up out of water, you first got to go down into water. And so baptism is performed by immersion in the New Testament. But baptism is also essential in the plan of salvation. Jesus said it so plainly in Mark 16, verse 16. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe will be condemned. If we don't even believe, we're not a candidate to be baptized. And Jesus said both were necessary for salvation. Listen to the words of Acts 2 and verse 38. In response to the Jews' question, what do we need to do to get rid of this sin problem of killing the Messiah? Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 3:27 teaches us that baptism is essential. For Paul said that we're baptized into Christ, and then we put on Christ in our life. It's our joy, our hope today, that you will be able to find real joy in your life. Life sometimes is sad. When sickness occurs, when death occurs, when sin comes into our life, that is sad and that is difficult to deal with. But there's only one way to have real joy in this life, and that's through Jesus. Remember, the Apostle Paul, who suffered great things in this life, said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I will say rejoice, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4.